Blog Talk Radio.
On the Mike Henderson Show here on blogtalkradio.com. It is Tuesday, as we always do it on Tuesday, December 6th of 2016, and we're broadcasting live from the DFW Metroplex area of the great state of Texas, as well as Atlanta, Georgia. I'm your host, Mike Henderson, and with me are my wonderful co-hosts, Vanessa Accenture, McCarroll, and Crystal Senegal. How you doing, ladies?
Awesome.
I am fantastic.
Okay.
How are you?
One word answered. I like that, though. I am... I'm actually full of sugar.
Full of sugar?
Sugar, yeah. I had ice cream.
You always
okay.
Need an ice cream. I mean,
I'm going on my bluebell binge. It's that time of year.
You still eating killer ice cream, huh?
Killer ice cream. Killer ice cream. At least that batch isn't killer, though. I'm still alive.
Yeah. For now.
Yeah. For
wow,
now.
Thanks. Yeah. I appreciate that, lady. Anyway, okay. Killer ice. That is so damn cruel. Anyway. Y'all have a little faith in me when it comes to the idea of ice cream. I can't do anything other than Bluebell. I can't. Mm-mm. Unless it's Cold Stone Creamery or a Brown.
You can't, or you don't want to. That's completely different.
Right, because Dreyer's is good.
I know, right,
it's expensive, though. It's expensive.
Dreyer's is good, yeah, it is good. She's right about that one. I like gelato ice cream, you know.
Me too.
Gelato.
Gelato.
I had the gelato.
So
I don't even eat regular ice cream.
Is that even real? Is that even real?
Yeah, it's real.
Yeah,
it's an Italian. It's from Italy. It's really good.
Oh my God! Don't talk about it because you're gonna make me go under freezer.
How do you really even know that's really Italian?
Because I lived in Italy, so I would know.
Right, exactly. Tell
American knockoff with an Italian name. You can grab a label on anything.
It's a different taste
to it.
Yeah,
it's really like medicine.
Yeah, it's really, really creamy. Mm-mm, it's real creamy.
And it melts in your mouth, and it's just,
would that make
know.
It like yogurt instead of ice cream? Because I know yogurt.
I would
kind of
say it's like a custard.
Yeah, I was
like
going to say it's more like a custard taste. Yeah, because it's kind of, it's really creamy, and it's just, it's delicious. And the flavors they have is just amazing.
Yes.
They just make
it's
up
really
names
expensive.
Like, you know, Consuelo Swirl or whatever, some of them shit like that. I don't know.
You gonna eat your killer ice cream, honey. We'll stick to gelato.
Yeah, gelato. We'll just stick to that. Like,
When it comes to stuff like that, especially like my snacks, though, I'm a dogged strategist. I'm not a brilliant one. I stick to what works.
Well, if it works, you know. Sometimes change is good.
A creature of habit.
And me and Bluebell go way back, so.
I'm sure you do. So, Crystal, how was your week?
My week is good so far. I went to Alabama. I went to Eufaula, Alabama, on Sunday. And
did you meet your husband?
I went there and met my friend because he was looking at houses to purchase there. Historic homes out there.
Oh,
you
nice.
Know, Eufaula was. I think the population is like 13,000. It's in between Atlanta, Georgia, and Panama City. Yeah, so they have a lot of historic homes there that plantation homes, basically, is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So we went and looked at some of them, walked through homes that they built, like 1904. Mm-hmm. It was really interesting.
Was it, kind of weird? Like,
No, it actually wasn't weird. And people were really, really nice. And, you know, you can't always judge a book by its cover. And I think that people need to get out and travel more. You know, because we'll sit here and say Alabama's just racist and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I mean, Eufaula made its money off of the cotton fields. But, they did.
You know, you're going to have racism in every city and state and, you know, it's just.
Right.
But it was
nice, and people were really nice.
Everywhere I go, you know, there's going to be this straight up blatant racism or something like that. It's not like every time I turn a corner, I'm going to run right into a KKK cross burning, you know, event, or run up to a white supremacist rally. Though no, most of the, like even like after all this craziness that actually happened this past year, though, I've run into my share of white people, and I haven't had any issues, none. Not somebody jumping in my face, you know, acting crazy, talking about, Trump this and Trump that, and get out of here, nigger, and all that. No, even though, there's been, like, some incidents reported that things like that have, no, I have yet to run into that. So I still feel free to travel, about the country. But anyway.
I mean, I love being from the South, so.
I do, too. I mean, well, yeah. I love it. Kind of stuff, yeah. I agree.
Yeah, same here, and like just being able to travel and go freely and stuff like that. Though I don't want any of those headaches. But even though I know it's out there, I know there's some places that that are quite certain it's there though, like Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas. You're gonna have that. It's there. And it usually winds up being the case of being at the wrong place at the right time, or at the wrong time rather though, dealing with the wrong people. But for the most part, though, I haven't had any of that. Even before all that crazy crap happened, I just never ran into it. I know it's there, I know it exists, but it's just not there. Anyway, but hey, I mean, yeah, you've just been rolling all over the place, Crystal. I mean, they don't want to keep you over now. They're on Facebook.
So everybody knows I'm a gypsy.
I
like to travel. I like to see new things, and I mean, we only have one life. Gotta get out there and I'm in Atlanta. Alabama is 2 hours away.
Yeah, I was going to say, Alabama is only 2 hours. Florida's down the street. So
2 hours.
Atlanta's that's very,
Yeah, you're right. So you can just skip across a couple of hours. You can just skip across somebody's border.
I want to get a shout out to Barb's Country Kitchen, Soul Food Kitchen in Eufaula. It was a buffet to die for. Mm-hmm. It was like I walked into my grandmother's kitchen, honey.
Wow.
That food was so good. I know I gained about 5 pounds just sitting at the table. She had collard greens.
But it was worth it.
Oh, my God. She had collard greens, cornbread dressing, mashed potatoes, yams, ribs, peach cobbler, pecan pie. It was family ran. It was good. It was good. When I tell you they had a line outside, they had a line, honey. And you follow Alabama. Barb's Country Kitchen.
I'm going to give Barb ribs, though, because this Saturday I will be in Louisiana, and I'm going to hit up Robert Hudson, who is a guest on the show, and his restaurant, Rib Tip Express, which is supposed to be like the bomb in Shreveport. So I will be checking that out and possibly giving like some live feedback though while I'm there handling my ribs.
Well, you let me know.
I'm letting them know right now. I promised them I was going to make it up there, and it just so happens I will be in Louisiana on Saturday. So
nice. Okay.
I'm doing a stage play there, so I will be. I'll be there. I'm getting the rest of the details though. This is supposed to be for a sorority, and I'm getting the rest of the details, and I'll actually post that on the Facebook page. And I'll have the rest of the details. Huh?
I could definitely keep us posted.
Yeah, I definitely will. Okay. Yeah, so you can see that. I will actually be on stage performing.
Oh my God, for real?
Yeah, really? You're gonna do it like that? Really? For real? I'm not that bad. Damn, what am I doing? What have you seen? What have you seen me in? Someone give me going to get that kind of response.
Exactly. So my question is, what's your character? Like, who are you playing? Like, what are you doing?
Well, it's actually for a Christmas program. It's a Christmas play. It's actually a short play, and I play a husband who doesn't believe in Christmas.
So you're the Grinch. You're Scrooge.
Really? No, the first thing you ran to was the Grinch. I could have dealt with Scrooge though, but out of those two though, you grabbed the Grinch first.
Oh, well, that's what came to mind first, you know. But so do you
no,
not
he stole Christmas? Yeah.
Like,
I don't even believe it. He stole Christmas.
So
instead of the guy that doesn't believe in Christmas, you hand me the food.
I mean, no, I'm just saying. Are you spiritually not believing in Christmas, or do you? Is it like you just?
Yeah, he's there. Yeah, the guy seriously does not believe in Christmas. Huh? You know, he seriously does not believe in Christmas. He doesn't believe in Christmas. It's not like he's an atheist. He doesn't believe in God.
You know who stole Christmas?
Hmm?
I said, you know who stole Christmas?
Nice.
Who stole Christmas?
That black Santa over there in that mall.
I knew she was going to say something crazy. That's it in my mind. She was going to say crazy.
The black Santa Claus in the Mall of America.
Yeah, that's Ricky Smiley. Ricky Smiley.
So,
Friday after next, that was Ricky Smiley.
Wow.
Shoot him an email and tell him you're talking about.
That was on Friday, the third Friday, the last Friday.
Yeah, that was like Friday after next.
Well, no, I'm talking about the black Santa Claus they used in the Mall of America recently. And white people are going on saying that Santa Claus wasn't black. Like, who cares?
Wow.
Santa Claus is not even real.
I mean, like, Santa Claus doesn't even exist. I mean, like, he really doesn't exist. So, in every nationality, everyone has their own Santa Claus. So, but they're
ridiculous.
He's a character. You know, it's ridiculous.
Santa's supposed to be able to transform into whatever other nationality and that kind of thing as well. I'm assuming that's how it goes.
Okay, I'm sure that if there's any children with their moms and parents listening in, they're probably going to all be like, you just ruined their Christmas, you know?
Your Christmas has already been ruined. Trump is president.
I was
trying real, real hard not to say anything or not to even go there, though. But, you know, Chris will pop the top off that bottle, so here we go.
Okay. Before you guys say that, so before we go to Trump, how do you guys feel about the guy Edgar Madison? You know, the guy that with the false story in North Carolina. You know what I'm talking about? And he went and shot up the Pizzagate restaurant because of a false story that was posted on the internet about Hillary Clinton in the restaurant.
Oh, I was talking about the child ring. It was raining out of
restaurant. Yeah, it was like some sex trafficking, and it wasn't even a true story. And it was, I'm like, wow, amazing.
See, that shows you how far we've gone off the deep end when it comes to misinformation, though. Some people out there, you can turn around and put some things out there, and people will believe anything, especially if it goes along, if it already kind of like side
right,
which they already believe in as well, though.
Uh-huh.
And conspiracy theorists, even since the election, though, conspiracy theorists have been going about 1,000 every single time something popped out as well, though. You could have said that Hillary is really a robot with a little bitty person inside of her head guiding the body around, stuff like that, though, and people would believe.
Of course. There would be someone believing.
Yeah, exactly.
It. Absolutely.
It's like the 9/11 theory. So people still believe that the government brought down the Twin Towers.
I'm not gonna comment on that.
I'm not gonna comment on that.
Uh-oh.
I don't know.
Here we go. Okay. We've done a good 15 minutes worth of us. Okay, and I'm going to jump into the subject at hand, and that is mistrial or mistake, the Walter Scott shooting trial. And tonight we're looking into the case of Michael Schlager, the former South Carolina police officer charged with the shooting death of Walter Scott in April 2015. Now, this is now the latest news on that. The judge declared a mistrial. On that case. So, really? Okay.
This is not anything new. It's not anything that is, it's just amazing that he's even on trial. That means, number one, there's nothing new.
Yeah, here's something that, where you look at all the evidence involved and everything as well, though, should have been a slam dunk, okay?
Trayvon Martin.
Yeah, exactly. We can go down the line. We can go down the line. because that, to me, one of the biggest travesties when it came to the straight-up, a summary execution on the street, point-blank and simple, though, even after the information was actually given, even with the circumstances involved, Buckhead police chief all together, though, there's no reasonable way that Trayvon Martin should be dead right now. I'm sorry. I don't give a damn what anybody says. They can talk about parenting, upbringing, all that stuff, too. There is no damn way, because for a fact, a white kid waving a gun in that same situation would still be breathing. He may be in custody. He may be behind bars, but he'd still be alive.
Okay, and the man that was
on adulterated
fat, red, he was still alive. it's crazy.
Yeah, but
well,
again, we're going back to Walter.
I said one juror held out. It was one juror,
exactly.
Which happened to be
a
white man
juror.
Held out.
Yeah, after 22 hours of deliberation, 22 hours of deliberation, 22 hours, and all of a sudden you wind up being deadlocked. Because there's all these individuals, though, that believe wholeheartedly that if you wear a badge and you're a cop, and in most cases if you're white, you can't do anything wrong, though. I'll be the first one to actually admit more than anything else to people, and I tell them all the time when it comes to that, though. You can't tell me anything about being a police officer because I've been one. And police officers are human. They make mistakes. They jack things up. They make bad calls. They have bad judgment at times, though, depending on what the situation is, though. And he's talking about this man, Michael Schlager, is talking about he feared for his life. How can you fear for your life when somebody running away from you? And once again, just like now, a hush fell. Yeah, when I asked that question, a hush fell over the room. Cops couldn't even answer that one.
It's nothing to us. We get it. You know what I'm saying?
You're right.
Go ahead, Crystal. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying I don't. We saw the man plant the gun on the boy. We saw all of that. We know that this man is guilty. It's a mistrial. It does not mean he was found not guilty. They're going to take him back to court. They'll keep taking him to court over and over again and fight until he gets convicted. this kind of stuff happens. It's a mistrial. It is not.
Well, we got a 50-50 chance, Crystal, though. You know what I'm saying? We have a 50-50 chance because we've seen some crazy things happen in the last few months, 2 weeks. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. And then somebody turn around and try to throw some new, remember like the O.J. Simpson trial?
Mm-hmm.
Remember how they couldn't get him in criminal court, so they took him to civil court?
But yeah, they could take his ass to civil court.
Right.
Yeah, okay, but see, that's what they call the no nigger rule. I mean, the no nigger rule. You couldn't get him like criminally, so you get him civilly though. One way or another, you get him.
But if he doesn't have the money, they're still waiting. Well, it's just a judge. You know what I'm saying? Because $3 million, and he doesn't have $3 million, so that's nothing. That means nothing to me. A judgment means nothing.
That's how I feel too. Because you never know. This man may walk down the street and somebody ride up on him and blow his head off. It doesn't
exactly.
serve. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So everything exactly. happens for a reason. Everything.
Okay. Remember George Zimmerman with Trayvon Martin?
That's why he's in all kind of.
He's not already been beat up what five times?
He's been five times in jail. You know his life is miserable.
His life is miserable.
Right. No matter how much he makes all this stuff and all the dumb things he do to get attention, I mean, his life, he's in torment. And he knows
exactly.
He
is suffering. Y'all, he probably wish he was dead right now. I promise you.
Yeah, God got a plan for him. That's why his life is doing what he's doing. That's why things are happening
exactly.
to him. See, his punishment really wasn't for us. God said he had that under control. You know, it was also an eye-opener to so many other things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Michael said, okay, I want this man locked up. But you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, we don't know what's going to happen to him. You know, his life is, I mean, he's living in hell anyway. So,
and even this
if
police
he's
officer,
jail, he's confined
right.
to a couple of people. So he got the whole world. He don't know where it's going to come from. He has no clue.
Exactly.
So if he's in jail, they can protect him. They can put him in, a secondary area. You know, but when he's in this world right now, he doesn't know which way to turn. That's a horrible
exactly.
way to have to live.
Exactly. So he'll always be looking over his shoulder. Always.
Always.
So once you want to put yourself in that position.
Do they know who I am? He doesn't worry about that. I'm sure he sees Trayvon Martin in his head in his dreams every day.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
But this police officer, I mean, he's gonna always be looking over his shoulder. Always.
Yeah.
He's going to move out that town,
Mm-hmm.
But he was found not guilty. It was a mistrial. So they probably will take it, prosecute it all over again. And,
but it's just a waste of time and money when you have videotapes and you see it clearly. And it just seems like it's just such a waste to have to do this all over again.
That's my point right there, though. Had that been a black man or Hispanic guy or something like that, though, it probably would have been a slam dunk. Point blank and simple. We have the evidence, this, that, and the other, though. And that's what I mean by that, time and time again, the double standard that a lot of people want to act like doesn't exist. It does. They want to say, equal treatment under the law, and it ain't.
Now your audience is going to be real pissed off at me because...
Okay.
You said don't say it. I'm going to say this. We have to stop, with this whole, if it was a white man and if it was this, we already know that. We understand that.
Yeah.
That's part of what we live in today. So what's the next step of us getting past it? How are we going to get past it? We know racism exists. How are we, as black American people, going to get past it? We got to move forward. We can't just keep saying, if it was a white man, this wouldn't be happening. We know that.
It's education.
That's clear.
And it's powerful. It's making sure our kids are doing the right thing and sagging clothes and all these things that we need to do as parents.
But you can't even say what's the right thing now. You can't. You could be in total compliance. You could still get shot.
Right. We need to get educated. That's what we need to do.
We need to educate ourselves.
Education. Becoming educated.
Becoming,
exactly.
Yeah, becoming judges. Becoming, you know, these prosecutors. Becoming, you know what I'm saying, defense attorneys. We need to start doing those things and stop putting our lives in our hands and I would say white people's hands. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Do some things differently. Let us start going out. I mean, because education is powerful. Knowledge is powerful.
Yep.
So we can keep blaming them as we already know it's there. It exists. It doesn't matter. At this point, like Crystal said, we have to change our thinking process. You know what I'm saying? We have to figure out how to beat them at their own game.
Mm-hmm.
That's why
we're playing checkers. Are we playing chess? And right now, Black Americans play checkers.
That's it. It's like I play chess, not checkers.
Okay.
So you got to think it through.
Okay. Okay, Denzel. Let's yeah, I caught that. Yeah. Chess, not checkers. We need to be smart.
Yeah. Exactly. We need to be educated. Knowledge.
Okay.
Right. They can take a lot from you, but they can't take your knowledge.
Okay, so we need to be knowledgeable on exactly like what,
correct,
you know, what can and cannot be done. We need to be knowledgeable on exactly what it is as well, though, and pretty much like, you know, beat them at their own damn game. Especially those
right.
who want to actually kind of lean on that and actually
exactly.
utilize that as well, though. And
exactly.
I'll explain
we
why
have to educate
not too many of them
directly. We have to. If we don't, then we're going to be having the same conversation too next week.
Okay. Over and over
because
again.
Over and over again. It's like it's repetitive. It's just it's crazy. And
okay. So the acknowledgement. So it's out there already. I guess it actually is safe to go and say that even though media coverage and everything else, especially during the election, with all the wild crap that actually went on, like through all that mess. It's pretty much safe to say that, you know, okay, it's out there. It's been out there, but now all of a sudden it's at the forefront of everything, though. And the individuals that want to try to, like, oh, my God, you know, come back like that, you know, act like, you know, it just popped up eight years ago. It's been here. Yeah, and that's what kind of gets on my nerves about some of these individuals talking about, well, Obama is the only one that lets you stir the pot. Really, that pot's been brewing for the longest. And every time
no,
I hear
when
that,
Obama
so just
became
really
president, when Obama became president, then you realize, white America, how racist you are. So
exactly, because they didn't believe that was going to happen.
They never believed,
you know,
it in the first place. So now,
exactly,
since
they,
you have
they
Obama
never believed
in office,
that happened.
Right? It wasn't Obama. It's not Obama that stirred the pot. It's because your ass came to the forefront. And you never claimed your racism, but now it's in the open. Now Obama is right.
Exactly. And the thing
now that you have Donald Trump,
I think what white people was upset about was the fact that they see how powerful black people are in numbers. See, we're powerful in numbers. When we work together, we can change a lot of things, and that's what we need to continue to do. We need to work in numbers and not as individuals, as white people would like for us to be. They keep us in different areas. They make, you know, certain areas where you live so much more expensive, so they keep black people or Hispanic people out of those neighborhoods. So they keep us divided. And then you get those few that live in those communities, and they act like they're not black. You know what I'm saying? So when you start seeing how powerful we are in numbers, we can't be stopped. That's just point blank.
But they keep us divided on purpose. Because they know that
exactly.
we all come together, if poor white people, African Americans, and all the other minorities in this country came together, the government would be overthrown, you know. And the elite would fall. Let me say it that way. Because
what
happens,
like
Vanessa said, they divide us on purpose to keep us a fight amongst ourselves.
Exactly.
You know,
because that makes
then we start worrying about what they're doing. Right.
Middle white people, I mean, black people have, so we're going to fight each other to have that. And they're okay with that. You know what I'm saying? But if we're all on equal playing grounds and we all have the same common ground that we're fighting for, They cannot stop us, and they know
right.
this. They keep our stores, you know, they keep our communities, you know, poor. They, you know, they won't fix our streets. They don't put, you know, I was actually here in Atlanta, and I was on the south side of Atlanta, and I'm driving through this neighborhood, and there's no sidewalk. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, why does this have no sidewalk? You know what I'm saying? Yes, because you go to, like, a neighborhood, you know, a middle-class, upper-class neighborhood, they have sidewalks all over. You know what I'm saying? It's the way that they even, mm-hmm. they build our infrastructure. You know
right.
what I'm saying? There's this, they do, the little things that we don't even pay attention to. You know, you can't tell me that the school on the north side can get books, but the school on the south side can't. You know what I'm saying? So they don't pour money into our education because they want to keep us down and not knowing what how the world really is ran.
Right.
Okay, so
just conquer and divide.
How does that play out when it comes to so when it comes to the idea like dealing with the police, dealing with government, dealing with, you know, rules that don't apply, don't, you know, they only apply to certain individuals, don't apply too much to us. How do we, so education, unity, communities coming together, even some minority groups actually coming together and actually pushing for change, that's how we combat that.
We can get a sense of control of it. We may not be able to correct it all, but we can definitely see a change if we work together.
But what happens is the elitists, okay, so you'll have, let's say, for instance, they'll say, okay, let's keep the black people in this little corner over here. We're going to take these Mexicans, and we're going to give them a little bit extra, more than the
mm-hmm.
blacks, so they can feel a little bit more important than the black people. So then here we go now. Now black people and Mexicans are going at each other. Let me take these Asians over here. Let me give them all the little hair stores and the beauty supply stores.
So they can feel better,
a little bit better than the Mexicans and the blacks. And now you have the blacks and the Mexicans fighting against the Asians fighting against, you know what I'm saying? So that's what they do. And it's conquering the body. So we fight amongst ourselves without being educated, but we're all still not as powerful as the elitists, which happen to be basically the government at this point.
Mm-hmm.
One token black person.
And white privileged people. That's what it is.
Yeah.
White, you know. They woke up, they were white, and they were like, I'm happy, you know. Simple as that.
So when you have, but what you're saying, Michael, is it needs, people need education. Because if you don't have it, if you're not knowledgeable what's going on and what's happening, you're just going through life with your pants sagging
you
down to
your
knees,
fighting for it.
Robbing everybody. You
right.
don't have a clue. You're hating yourself. The music today is horrible. You know, it's everything.
Horrible.
It's everything. It's in the food. Because you go to any town or neighborhoods, poor neighborhoods, all there's nothing but fast food running through there.
It's fast food, cash places. Title loans,
right. Pawn
shops, liquor stores, pawn shops. You know, you can't even. You know, there's some areas that don't even have like a Quick Trip. If you notice that, they're like Quick Trips, racetrack. They're not in our black community. You know what I'm saying? They're all in suburban areas.
Yeah, okay.
I understand
that you're saying what we need is for that, but how does that do anything against these individuals out here who are simply, you know, to me, if you wound up actually like giving this guy. You know, instead of charging with murder, you charge him with manslaughter, which has like, you know, which involves anywhere from 2 to 30 years in prison. You know, it's almost like, you know, you're giving it, like, you're not really, you know, putting anything on him as well like that. Though. That's what I hate the idea about this whole deal. When you wind up actually, you turn around and, you're killing people being killed for little or nothing at all, you know, for little or nothing at all, though. You know, they use the old, well, I fear for my life excuse. They come around with all this other stuff, too, like that. And you're enabling individuals who want to do shit like that to us, who want to do things like that to us as well, though. Like that, you know, like, I mean, like, you're giving them, like, okay, wow, I'm going to go and do this, though. You know, like, boy, not to drag the election off into it, but in a way I kind of have to, though. Well, Trump said this. That means I can do it, too. until you turn around into like the individual, like you, the individual you enable, you enabled right then and there, though, decides to go ahead and do that, though, and they get their ass stomped out somewhere, though. Next, you know, these white individuals who start this bullshit start calling the cops, and you got somebody locked up behind some bullshit that you started.
But, Michael, the problem lies within our own black communities. And I'm sure you're going to get a lot of people that's going to write you and say that, who is this Crystal chick? What is she, anti-black? I'm not anti-black. I'm more pro-black than anything.
No, you know, I understand where you're coming from with it.
Okay,
that we
so
have,
if you don't, but if you don't have respect
though.
And love for yourself, how the hell do you expect anybody else to have love and respect for you? Please explain that to
no,
me.
I'm not,
if you
no, I'm
not
talking about. I'm not talking about the idea of let those individuals
but
that actually just go around doing whatever the hell they want you, though,
because African-American, you today don't even have enough self-respect to pull their pants up. Just that little bit right there. They don't even have enough self-respect to pull their pants up, Michael. What makes you think police officers are going to have any respect for them? Which makes you think that white America is going to have any respect for them? They're not, because we don't even respect ourselves. Period. It's in that little bit. That's why we were saying they need to get education. They need to be educated. You have to be. Pull your pants up. Have some self-worth about yourself.
Here's the issue. Here's the issue with that.
If
I'm
they do,
I'm,
well, let me finish. If they okay. do, if they do just that, you will see a shift. It may be a small shift, but it will be a shift, and people will show you respect. So you have to respect yourself to get respect from other people, and it doesn't. It can be, and I mean, in any means necessary. It could be anything. You have to have respect for yourself. That's the only way anybody's going to have respect for you. And as a culture, we are losing that. So we're going to walk around with your pants hanging down, with your hoodies over your head, and people thinking, oh, automatic, they're going to assume you're a thug. Automatic. The crime rate is so high, and it's going high across America. Not just in Chicago, not just in Detroit. It's in Texas. It's in Atlanta. Honey, they are killing women out here. They are breaking into people's houses and shooting women. Am I lying, Vanessa?
No, you're very true. You're very, very, very true.
So if
and,
you don't
and
have
I
respect,
think that
if culturally we don't have respect for ourselves, why do you think anybody's going to have respect for us? They're not. So they're going to sit there and they're going to treat you the way you treat yourself. That's just the bottom line.
Okay.
Okay.
And
so
I wasn't going to say nothing.
Well, but this is
yeah, you,
I do believe.
I knew you were lying. I knew you were lying. I already knew.
Okay.
So it's like this. So the argument is twofold. Okay. Because when it comes to the idea of that, educational, which I fully understand. I fully understand and I fully support the idea of education, though, because in a lot of ways, say this, but well, yeah, it's crazy because you're just taking it into another realm. Well, this is just how I am, though. But being black does not automatically make you a thug.
I don't think that's what she's saying.
That's not what I'm saying.
No. I'm saying this is what some people think. This is coming from some things that I've actually run into myself right there. There are some individuals in the black community that think that's all they're ever going to be. And it's a false narrative that they've actually bought into.
Okay, let me ask you this, Michael. You have to understand that everything starts from home. You know what I'm saying? And it's our moms. It's the black mothers, the black fathers, our grandparents. And it's just the way that this generation is raised, I do believe. We have babies having babies.
I totally agree with that as well, though. But once again, like, that belief system started right there. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That belief started right there, though. And they're buying into it, though, and it's wrong. And like I said, I'm not going against it, because she made a real good point. And
I couldn't hear you. I'm sorry.
No, I felt like she made a real good point. She made a real good point when it comes to that as well, though. But, you know, that this generation, you know, the idea of self-expression and being who they are is pretty much perpetuated on the idea that they're supposed to be that, though. No, you're not. Because if you like I said, like if that's how you dress and that's how you act, that's all they're going to see.
Okay, Michael, let me ask you this. Do you think that a lot of what Crystal was saying has to do with the upbringing, their upbringing? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
It's
yeah,
like a generational curse. It's like,
you know, I always believe the sum of your experiences. And then you're also
right.
like, you know,
so
and,
I think
you know.
The kids, what we, and sometimes like it takes a village to raise a child. And so as black women and men, if we see these kids doing wrong, it's almost like we can't even approach them. You see, it's not
right.
like us. If grandmother or seeing us down the street or the neighbor seeing us acting a fool down the street, we get in trouble by everybody on the whole block.
Right.
Because eyes are watching you. See, our kids now have been taught that you can call the police if a mother hits me, slaps me in my face for talking disrespectful. You know what I'm saying? We have the law we have to fight against. So it's very hard. And like Crystal was saying, it's very difficult to try to get people to understand that it starts at home. It's these moms and dads at home that need to start telling these kids, pull your pants up, wear a belt. You know what I'm saying? Go to school. Don't fight. Stop fighting your teachers. Stop disrespecting your teachers. You know, teachers can't teach. You know what I'm saying? What parents need to start doing is and be active in these kids' education. Going
right.
to parent-teacher conferences. You know, going to a school event. You know, seeing what type of education they're getting, but they don't. They use school as a daycare. Just go to school. They don't care what kids are doing in school, so that's why it trickles out into the world. And then you have these guys that just people that just don't care. They're reckless. Mm-hmm. So when they don't care, then you see society, police officers, everyone else, they just disrespect them because they feel like they're going to be disrespected anyway. They
exactly.
feel like all black kids are just uneducated, they're stupid, they
right.
or drugs, they just assume it because we just allow it to happen. Even though
exactly.
those kids can be educated, smart, but we allow it to happen. So as parents and as educators, we have to figure out a better plan, and it starts at home.
That's the whole saying. That's why we were saying we need to stop playing checkers and start playing chess. We are being played as African American people. We are being played, and we are sitting there falling right into the trap
and falling into
period.
It. We fall into it. We have teachers walking away. We pay our teachers little of nothing to educate our kids.
But then, I wouldn't want
to
be a teacher in this society.
Kids are so disruptive.
You're right.
They so disruptive.
These kids are disrespectful.
Listen to these cell phones and Snapchatting and fighting. And another thing that irritates me is with our African American kids, our children, is that this videotaping fighting. They want to see
right.
girls fight. Instead of someone stepping in and stopping it, they videotaping it, putting it on the internet. You know, it's crazy. I hate to see that, but it's like, what do we do? How do we stop it? How do we have to all come together and stop it? We can't just see
we need
one
to stop
person.
Blaming somebody else and take
mm-hmm.
responsibility.
And take responsibility.
That's what we need to do. So the next time you see a police officer, you know, plant a gun on somebody and he's set free. One juror, and most of the jurors most of the jurors were white. I think it was two
right.
black people,
of course.
And the foreman was black. But one juror stood out, and the juror wrote the judge a letter and said, you know, I don't want to send a message across the country saying that all police officers are bad. And, you know, it's we're all allowed to get police officers if they convict this police officer. Because now, you know, the police officer is afraid for his life, blah, blah, blah. Police officers are afraid for their life when they go out there. They don't know what to expect. Right, Michael? You were a police officer.
No, I agree on that as well,
know.
Though. But see, there's a difference. You still have that same pocket of police officers out there who act like they're above the law. Nobody's above the law. Nobody.
But how do we know that police officer was acting like he was above the law? Maybe we don't know. All we saw is a video. That police officer may have been scared in the first 5 minutes of watching the video.
Okay,
I don't know,
off,
Michael.
Okay,
but the cop was running. The boy was running away, and he had no. That's not justified.
Yeah,
this boy just shot his pants.
Yeah, it's not good. I can understand if he was confronted and actually going with him head to head, though, but he was running away.
away from him. That's where the problem lies. Because and he shot him so many times while he's running. And what happened to the old school where the police officer chased? You know, they actually ran after people instead of just shooting them. Because to me, they're just lazy as hell.
You know, he probably shot him because he probably think he was probably thinking, well, his life ain't worth nothing anyway. You know why
exactly.
He probably thought that? Because our black boys are walking around like their life don't matter anyway. They go and they rob and they steal and they kill each other because their lives don't matter anyway. So he probably thought to himself, what difference does it make one less black man who don't care about his life? Understand where I'm going with that? We as black American people need to start taking responsibility, period. There ain't nothing else you can say about it. Once we start taking responsibility for our own people, our own culture, it will change. If we start having respect for ourselves, people will respect us. I promise you that. It's just that simple.
In a way, I agree, and in a way, I don't. And here's the reason why I agree. I agree to the idea that, yes, it will change, though, because when you start actually putting value in a culture, a subculture, something like that, though, that dynamic changes over a period of time. It could be a greater, a short amount of time or a long length of time as well, though. It just depends on long enough, but a change does start somewhere. Where I don't agree on it is this. There are always going to be those individuals out there that no matter what the hell you do, it's never going to happen, though. And it's only even on the inside as well, though, no matter what you do, you're always going to have somebody in the middle of that, somewhere on either side of that plane, is still going to have a problem with it, though, because they don't want to have that happen. You got, into it because they're always thinking themselves as inferior, and that's the only way they can express themselves is by blowing each other. It's self hatred.
Right.
It's
I think it's a balance.
On the other end of it though, on the white side as well though, they'll always be inferior. They'll always be animals. They'll always be substandard though. Fuck them.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you're gonna always have those ones. So no matter how respectable you are, how educated you are. And see, that's a threat to white people, too, that want to harm you. Because you are, if you just do any more power than they do, that's a threat to them.
Yeah, there's a problem. You are a threat. You are a bona fide, viable threat as well, though. If you actually have anything that's actually close to the power that they could possibly possess, you are a threat.
Exactly. Don't so you're already a target
don't
as
think,
well. Well, it's a double. It's a. I don't know. I can't even think what I'm gonna. How I want to say it.
A double edged
sword.
Either way
you go, it's kind of like if you're damned if you're good and you're damned if you don't. Type of situation.
Exactly.
So you can be educated, be smart. You could work every day, have a family and kids, and you just simply just doing what you're supposed to do. And then you have a police officer that it hates his job. Is not getting paid very much, and you will find a reason. And to end up hurting this person. You know what I'm saying? So it's either way it goes, we know we're just in a terrible situation.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to tell you, I think that just say if 50 years down the line, if this was to happen and, everything had changed with black American people and they have more, I don't know what word I'm looking for, but if they were more,
things change from an economic standpoint, we were actually uplifted, and an educational standpoint,
and uplifted
we were uplifted
in a different state of mind.
Yeah,
this jury,
exactly.
It would have been a different outcome.
Yeah, but once again, you're still gonna have that pocket of people.
It's always going to be that, but so this is the thing. We can rant and rave and say this is how we should do things, and I think as a three, alone, too, what do we do? What's the plan of action to move forward to enforce the things that we're talking about? Do we just continue to saying, okay, we need to stop blaming black America, other people for our own, our own faults, and do we actually go out into our communities and actually start doing something?
Yeah,
that's what a lot of us black people do. We can
tell you, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do that. But do we get up and go volunteer? Do we actually get up and go and find out what our communities are missing? Do we start organizations? Do we start nonprofits? What do we do from this point moving forward? Now, we know what the problem is. Now, let's solve it. So,
right.
Yeah, that's all well and fine. You can start nonprofits. You can start programs and education and all this stuff, too, like that, though. But once again, are they going to come to it?
Won't you go to them? Don't let them come to you.
No, you can go to them though. It doesn't mean you're going to convince them. Yeah, you can go to them though. In this case, you don't have to bring the horse to the water. You bring the water to the horse, and they're still admitting to drink it.
And you know what? And that's just one. But out of the 50 people you go, you may get 25. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So week
25.
Okay, maybe that other 25 they just don't want, because sometimes they don't know that it's offered to them. You know, we have to go into the community and see what's needed. We can't just go in and say this is what we're gonna give you. We need to
know what the problems are. I agree on that as well, though. But also with the youth, though, and I will put this out there because I've seen this myself this past March when I visited one of the schools in the DISD, and that is that a lot of these kids, yeah, they were angry, they were confused, but at the same time, they definitely wanted something different. They didn't want to wind up actually going down the same. They seemed like in their own neighborhoods, in their own families, in some cases as well, though, violence and disruption and craziness and all that stuff too. And they really want no part of it. They wanted to wind up actually get education. They wanted to get they wanted to have something to do. They wanted to find a way to break that cycle because they didn't want to be simply did not want to be a part of it though. They've lost friends for nothing.
And the world has woken them up. And we ask them, what do y'all want to do? What make them become a part of it. You know what I'm saying? Put them to work. And when they see hard work, it pays off. See, when we go in there and say we're going to start an organization for, you know, education, okay, we don't even know what these kids are lacking or what they need. We just start putting things out there. It just sounds good.
No. You don't do that at all, though. You're right. You go in there. You have to do some discovery when it comes to that as well, though, so
right.
That you guys can speak. Because you're not going to be able to fix it if you don't know what the hell is broken. That's crazy.
Exactly. But so, we have a lot of organizations that I've, you know, people have reached out and want me to be a part of. And I'm thinking to myself, does this community actually need this? You know what I'm saying? What bothers me with a lot of organizations, they only do these big food drives and canned goods for Thanksgiving and Christmas. What do you think these people are doing all the rest of the year?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, we have to figure out what these communities need. And when we find out what they need, if they're hungry, there shouldn't be kids hungry here in America.
Right.
They shouldn't be hungry. They should not have clothes or shoes. That's ridiculous. This country wastes so much food. We're wasteful. And then we don't care about our own people. So just like Crystal was saying, we have to figure out how to go out to these communities. You, myself, Crystal, we all need to go out here and say, okay, what do we need? What do we need to do? What do these kids want? What is the problem? You know what I'm saying? Everything is mental. It's mental health. That's all I keep hearing. Mental health.
Why are they so angry?
You're angry. You're not happy. Oh, they don't have a father in the home, it's just crazy stuff. So we need to start positioning ourselves to start knocking off some of the things on the list.
Right. I agree on that.
So the ultimate solution when it comes to this, though, okay, to a certain degree, we have to hold police officers accountable for their actions, good and bad. It can't be just the idea you did a good job and that's it, though. There has to be some form of accountability. I'm all for that when it comes to police officers. When it comes to the black community, though, we also have to take responsibility for our actions, though. It's not enough to, you know, the craziest thing I ever heard was this woman trying to justify why a kid who broke into this woman's house and got killed by the woman protecting herself because he broke in, though, trying to justify why he did it. It was the dumbest damn thing I've ever heard, though.
I was like, you gotta be
freaking kidding me. You actually got on a newscast on TV, broadcast television, and tried to justify somebody committing a crime?
But Michael, she's not the only one that thinks like that, though.
That's Crystal's point. You have to take responsibility.
No, I agree. That's Crystal's point. Right? That's Crystal's point right there, though. You are so phenomenally bankrupt when it comes to right and wrong. You'll try to justify somebody committing wrong. Somebody, he needed to sell for 2 houses for to get it. So get a damn job.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. It starts at home. If you teach your kids to go out and just take because they're too lazy, see, we have to start reaching the parents. We have to sit down with them because most of them, they're not educated.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They didn't go to school. They dropped out. They had babies young. You know what I'm saying? So they don't know better. To know better, you have to know better. You know
yep.
what I'm saying? So can we change the whole world? Can we go out to the community and everybody's going to listen and do what we say? No. But if
no.
we can get people to change their mind, that's 10 more people strong. And, it's just like anything. See, I know that we are followers and not leaders in this community right now.
Right.
So we will follow behind anything. Right. So we want to follow behind bad. Let's start making some things good and see if they'll follow.
Right.
So I'd rather take 10 out of 100 than none out of 100.
Right.
Okay.
So most people think, change everybody. We can't. But that's not what we're trying to do. We just want those that want to change. And that's just simple.
I mean, it's probably a scream for help. You know, when these kids go out here and, do this. I saw some kids walking by, and I say, why are you wearing your pants hanging down to your knees? And they'll instantly pull them up. You know, it's not.
Yeah.
Your approach is everything. Your approach is everything.
Yeah.
If you're looking for arguments, you're going to get an argument. If you approach it a certain way, you know, they're going to be different.
Yeah.
And you're going to get the smart mouth to say, I can because I can and I want to. But if you ask them, spell second backwards, and what does that spell?
Well,
the way the equality
like I said
spells
before, I'm not going to ostracize all police officers. I'm not. I would never do that as well, though, because the few encounters I've even had over this past year with police officers, though, by white police officers, though, it was pleasant. I didn't have an issue. You know, they simply told me why they stopped me, though. One time I got a ticket, one time I didn't. You know, big deal. But at the same time, though, I wasn't drugged out of the car. I wasn't treated any different than anybody else. So they were pretty pleasant about it as well, and that was it. But there are also those individuals, like Chris said, your approach is everything. Okay? They didn't approach me with the intention of trying to start an altercation. They approached me to actually help me identify what the issue was, and then we went from there. That was it.
But what cop ever approached you trying to start an altercation? Please explain that to me, because I've never had a cop approach me that way, ever.
No, that was like I say, some people have it, though. Unfortunately, some people have.
A lot of
people
have. And it's not the individual, it's the police officer having a bad day. My best friend is a police officer, and we have this conversation quite often. And, they have bad days. She will tell me stories that when, cops do, they stressed out at home, they this didn't happen, they're already
I know that to be true, though. Hell, there's a time when I was a cop, I had bad days, though. But at the same time, though, I still had to work on bit of self-control when it came to that, though, because I also know that situations could very easily spiral out of control if I allow it.
I was out of control that quick, yes.
The idea is to de-escalate the situation, not escalate it, though, because I wasn't going to try to be the type of cop to where the last thing I saw was somebody dead at my hand.
Exactly.
About a situation that could have been prevented.
I agree.
I'm just saying. I'm saying that's it right there, though. But we're at the 90-second mark, so I have to get out of here. Okay, so ladies, once again, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Y'all go find some gelato somewhere. I'm going to get back in my
life. He made it sound like Jello.
It sounds like Jello. It sounds like Jello. But anyway. I want everybody to, everybody to have a great rest of the week, a great weekend, and come back with us next Tuesday here on the Mike and Jen Show on Blog Talk Radio. You guys have a good evening. Thank you, ladies. And cue the music.
Thank you.